On the last line of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, continuing with topics about declaring leap years, the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan, Lona Braisa, Ein Ma'abrin Es Hashana B'Shnei Ravoin." We don't make a leap year in years of famine. Because, as we've talked about yesterday, making a leap year, one thing it means is there's going to be a delay of another month until everybody can eat chodesh, because you can't eat chodesh until the Korban HaOmer is brought, or nowadays when there's no Beis HaMikdash, until the 16th of Nisan, or 17th in Chutz La'aretz, has passed. So during a year of famine, you can't expect people to wait a whole other month, a whole extra month, to eat chodesh, and therefore we don't make a leap year. Tanya, and in fact we learn a braisa, Rebbe Omer, that Rebbe says, I'll give you an example of this, side of here it says that Hoyer Rameyer Omer, that Marshal has the girsa, that Rameyer would say he was an example of that. The Pasuk describes with Elisha, the Ish Bami Baal Shalisha, a man came to visit Elisha from a place called Baal Shalisha. By Yove Leisha the Kim Lechem Bikurim, he brought to the man of Hashem, he brought to the Navi 20 loaves of Bikurim bread from the new crop that had just grown, Esrim Lechem Sa'urim Mugamer, 20 loaves of barley bread. I know the Pasuk also continues, Hagoyes HaBach adds these words in the Gemara of Charmel, but Sikloinoi, he also brought him fresh grain in Sikloinoi, which there's different explanations among the Mephoshim, whether that means that the grain was still in its husks, that it hadn't been shelled yet, or whether it means in his bag. Whatever the case, he brought the Isha, the king, he brought Elisha fresh bread and grain from the new crop, and he calls it Bikurim. And the Pasuk goes on to say that Elisha says to his Meshores, go serve it to the Talmidim, and the Meshores says this isn't going to be enough, and Elisha tells him, don't worry, it will be enough, Hashem will make it be enough, and sure enough, it was one of Elisha's Nisim that this amount of food was able to feed all the Talmidim. Back in Masechta Ksubas, we learned that there were actually 2,200 full-time Talmidim in front of Elisha, and the Meshores is saying about each loaf of bread and each sack of grain, that you're expecting it to feed 100 people, and Elisha tells him, yes, Kidvar Hashem, and that's what happened. Anyway, so Rebbe, or the mayor, says like this, V'ein l'chok kala b'chol Eretz Yisrael l'vashol peiros seha yosim b'al shalisha. There's no place that ripens its fruit so fast in Eretz Yisrael as Baal Shalisha. It's a place in Eretz Yisrael where the grain and the fruit ripens particularly fast. The alpha became like bikra elamin echad. And nevertheless, the Pasuk is implying that by that point, only the one species, only barley, had matured yet, and they could make wheat, and they could make flour, and they could make bread out of it. Shema termachitim, you're going to say, okay, at least the one type of grain that was ready for harvesting at that point was wheat. No, Talmud Loi Masodim, therefore the Pasuk mentions that it was barley, with the point being, in other words, also, that this fellow from Baal Shalisha, he's bringing a present to Elisha and company, he's not going to bring them barley bread if he could have brought them wheat bread instead. So obviously that means that only the barley was mature yet. Shema Tomer Lifnei HaOmer, so you might say, okay, maybe it was before the Omer, and before the Omer, before Pesach, you don't expect a lot of the grain to be mature yet. No, Talmud Lema Tema Om V'Yechelu, because Elisha tells his Meshartis, give it to the people, and let them eat, implying Acha HaOmer Hoya, so it must have been after the Korban HaOmer was brought, because otherwise, how could he tell them, give it to them to eat? It would be an Issur of Chodesh for them to eat it. Apparently, the Gemara is assuming it wasn't such a matter of pikuach nefesh that they would have to eat it no matter what. And maybe the point is, because then the Pasuk wouldn't have to say that Elisha told them to give them to eat, and the Meshores wouldn't wonder how it's going to feed them. If they're starving, then he'll give them whatever food is available. So apparently the idea was there's a famine, there's a shortage of food, but nevertheless the people aren't actually starving, and therefore Elisha wouldn't give it to them if it was usur because of chodesh. So we see, in other words, in short, it's after the Korban HaOmer was brought, it's after the 16th of Nisan, and the only crop that's ripe at that point is barley, which matures faster than wheat. Emram, and this was in Baal Shalisha, again, which is the part of Eretz Yisrael, where things mature the fastest. So based on all of this, you have to say, by rights, that year should have been one where they declare a leap year. Because here you have, they didn't have Aviv yet. Here we talked about yesterday that you have to have Aviv. You have to have ripe grain by the time Nisan comes in. And here you have that even 16 days into Nisan or more than they didn't yet. So why did Elisha, who was the, besides that he was the Navi of that time, he was also the head of the Chachamim of that time, when the Rambam gives a list of the Mekabli HaTorah, of the ones who transmitted Torah Shebachsav and Torah Shebalpeh from generation to generation, Elisha is in the list after Eliyahu, so he would have been the head of the Beis Din, the one to declare a leap year, so why didn't he? Sheshanas Batzorah, so the reason is, because it was a year of drought, as the Pesukim describe over there. It says before, v'horov v'aretz, that there was a famine in the land, v'ahoyu akol rotzim l'veis agronis, and so everybody is running to the granaries in order to get food, and they can't, and therefore the Sanhedrin would realize they can't afford to delay the heter of chodesh by a whole month, and therefore, necessarily, they didn't make a leap year that year, even though it means that the crops are very delayed compared to Pesach. Now, Tosfos points out a couple of nuances in this. First of all, we learned yesterday you have three factors. Aviv is one of them, but you also have Peres that you learn, and you also have Tekufa. So why don't we assume that he didn't make a leap year because the Peres Ha'ilan, the tree fruits, were growing normally, and because the Tekufa, because the calculated Tekufa, the equinox, Tekufas Nisan, was coming out before Pesach. So Tosfos says, because listen, if in Baal Shalisha, which again is the first ripening area in Eretz Yisrael, all they had was barley so far, then that means at least the Peres Ha'ilan clearly were not ripening on time either. It means, in other words, that everything was being delayed that year, and therefore, so already you have two of the factors, Aviv and Peres Ha'ilan. Those would be valid reasons to make a leap year, and yet they didn't. Tosfos also points out that again, because Baal Shalisha, and we learned yesterday about the three regions of Eretz Yisrael, Yehuda, Eber, Yarden, and Galil. But again, if in Baal Shalisha things are being so delayed, then it means that in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, we can assume that it was as well. And then Tosfos points out one more thing. Okay, well, we're saying that Elisha didn't declare a leap year. How do we know? Maybe he did. And the answer is, because if he did, then there would have been plenty of time before Pesach for there to be other kinds of grain, and they wouldn't have had only barley, and the sky wouldn't have had to bring only barley bread and barley grains to Elisha. In fact, the other Rishonim discuss various nuances in as well. The Ran points out that would be a reason why the Pasuk calls it Bikurim, because it means it was the first crop and it was the only crop of that year, because there was a drought and then not much was growing, and even in Baal Shalisha things were being delayed. Then you have the other points as well. Marsha points out that further on the Gemara is going to explain that you don't make two leap years in a row, as we're going to talk about further down the Amud. So maybe what happened was, maybe the year before was a leap year, and that's why Elisha can't make this year a leap year. And Marsha says again, what Tosfos is implying with their answer is, if last year was a leap year, then still Pesach this year would have been late enough in the season that they would have had other crops. And the fact that they didn't means last year wasn't a leap year, and this year wasn't either. So to put it in the terms that we were learning about yesterday, let's say, for example, last year Pesach was... At the end of March, and fine, that's still within the Tekufa, and they didn't declare a leap year because of that. And this year, they should have declared a leap year because already Pesach is going to be in mid-March. But they didn't because it's a year of hunger, and they can't do that. That said, though, Marsha still leaves it with a question. So how do we know? The Gemara is going to say further on that you also don't make a leap year during Shemitah. Marsha points out, well, this year was a year of Shemitah. How do we know? He didn't do it, or the year after Shemitah, the Gemara is going to point out soon. So Marsha leaves the question open that Ktsas Koshe says, how do we know? Maybe it was Shavuos. Well, it's so Shavuos, and the Gemara is going to explain soon that you don't make a leap year during those years either. So he says, V'yeshli Yashiv. You could answer, but he doesn't offer an answer how. The Aruch HaNeir gives answers as far as that it wasn't the year after Shemitah. We're going to have opinions soon that you are allowed to do that, to make a leap year in the year after Shemitah. And as far as that it may have been Shemitah itself, the Gemara explains that the Gemara elsewhere explains that this guy had brought it to Elisha as a gift, and that the Pasuk calls it Bikurim, shows that giving a gift to a Talmid Chacham is like giving Bikurim in the Beis Mikdash. If it was Shemitah, it's Hefker, and you can't give it as a gift anyhow. And there's more discussion about different details of it, about different details as well. Anyway, the point is, that was saying that was a year of famine, and therefore they did not make a leap year, even though they shouldn't have. Now, the Rambam writes, when he brings these halachas in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, the Rambam learns that actually, that no, when we say you don't make a leap year in a year of famine or in a year of Shemitah, as we're going to talk about soon, that's when we're using the secondary reasons that we learned about yesterday, because the roads are washed out, because the bridges are washed out, or whatever. But if we need to do it because of the tekufa, or because the crops are late, then we do it even in a year of famine, and so forth. So now the Rama points out wait a second, and what about our sugya? We see clearly that it was saying that Elisha didn't make a leap year that year because of this consideration. So the Aruch HaNer again answer is that since the reason Mepnei Aviv is because they won't have grain to bring the Korban Omer, well, here the Gemara is saying they did bring the Korban Omer, so obviously they had enough grain for that, so therefore it wasn't only, so Mepnei HaAviv wouldn't have really been a factor in itself. And apparently we have to say, according to the Rambam, in fact, the Tekufa was not late that year, the Tekufa did come out before Pesach, so that would have been, that factor didn't come into consideration. The fact that there was in fact enough grain to bring the Korban HaOmer, so they didn't have that. So the only reason might have been, like Tosfos says, Peiros HaIlan, and that's not enough of a reason to make a leap year during a year of famine. A different answer that one of the Mepharshim on the Rambam gives is maybe there's a difference, maybe even the Rambam would agree that there's a difference between different degrees of famine. Here there was a very severe famine, and even the Rambam would agree maybe that we don't make a leap year in such a year. Okay. Onward. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Ein Ma'abernas Hashanah Lefnei Rosh Hashanah. We do not declare a leap year before Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, obviously, the leap month is going to be Adar, as we know, as the Gemara is going to talk about soon. But the point would be, in other words, that you might think, now, already before Rosh Hashanah, we could be announcing to the people, next year there's going to be two Adars. We don't do that. The reason is because based on what the Gemara is going to go on to say, Ein Ma'adrin means we don't even sit to calculate it normally. And the reason is because people are going to forget. By the time Adar comes, they're going to have forgotten that we wanted to declare this year a leap year, and then people are going to end up getting careless with the issue of Chometz on Pesach. So the Yad Ramah actually discusses, given the other factors that we mentioned, Oviv and Peiros HaIlan and everything, how would they conceivably try to declare it before Rosh Hashanah anyway? It's far too, or even the Gemara is going to say over here, B'shasat Chak, they can do it right after Rosh Hashanah, but at that time, it's far too early in the season to know how it's going to be with Oviv and Peiros HaIlan and so on and so forth. See, the Yad Ramah gives a number of explanations. It can be because they know when the tekufa is going to come out, and especially according to the Rambam, that alone, and as we learned yesterday, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, according to one way of understanding Reb Shimon Gamliel, that alone is reason enough to declare a leap year, so then they can calculate that far in advance. There can be, for example, that the last few years were regular years, and there's no, because let's say, for example, there was a famine, and now there's no question that this year is going to have to be a leap year, and there's a couple of other examples where we know for sure the next year is going to have to be a leap year. There's no choice about it, but nevertheless, they're not allowed to do it before Rosh Hashanah, because as we're saying, by the time it comes Adar, it's going to have been forgotten. The Im Ibruha, and if they did declare a leap year at that time, Enum Oberes, then it's not a valid leap year. Album of Nadzhak, but when there's a difficult situation, when they have reason to be concerned that later on in the year they might not be able to assemble the Beis Din. For example, Rashi says, let's say the Mufla, the head of the Beis Din, might not be available. Like this we learned about yesterday. There was a time, for example, where Rebbe Gamliel was not available, and they had to make the leap year out tonight, and he'll agree. So they'd prefer not to do that. They'd prefer to have him present when they have to do that. So if they know in advance that come Adar time, he's going to have to be traveling, then they might want to move up the declaration. Usually they would declare the leap year in Adar itself, or not long before Adar. But here we're saying, B'shasat Chak, for example, because the Mufla, the Nosi, or the Avestin may not be present. Or another possibility is that the Goyim might try to interfere with it. So when you have a Chak like that, Ma'abrin Osa'ach Rosh Hashanah Miyad, then they can declare the leap year right after Rosh Hashanah. Va'afa Pekin, Ein Ma'abrin Ela Adar, nevertheless, the month that's declared the leap month, the one where we add the second one, is always only Adar. We don't double any other month. Tosfos brings from Yerushalmi that says the reason is because we have in the Megillah, it says b'chodesh shneim osar hu chodesh adar. It says in the Haman made his zera for the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. So that implies that the month of Adar always has to be the 12th. If you double any other month, then you don't have then Adar doesn't come out being the 12th, and therefore you can't do that. So there's that. There's a number of other reasons that are given by different Mephoshim why it is that only Adar can be doubled. Rashi elsewhere in Shas and Rosh Hashanah brings a reason, because since the whole point of making a leap year is Shomer as Chodesh Aviv, to preserve that Pesach will come out in the spring, then you can only make the leap year as close as possible to Pesach, namely it has to be Chodesh Adar. There are other reasons as well, and Habona in Yaakov makes an interesting point. Adar is the month of Simcha for the Jewish people. We want to be able to add specifically to the month of Simcha and double it. The Rebbe used to quote that a lot of times in Sichas during Chodesh Adar about how we have 60 days of Simcha, and in a sense 60 is the number, is the amount you need to be Mevatel things, Botel Vashishim, so therefore it represents that with that Simcha we're being Mevatel any negative things. Okay. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so that they can't declare a leap year before Rosh Hashanah? V'hashochu leila rova. We find that at one point the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael sent the following message to Rava. Now, they sent it in code because there was a concern about spies or whatever who would tell on the Chachamim. So they gave him the following message, which he had to decode. Zug bo merakas. A pair of Talmid Chachamim came from Rakas. Now we find the Gemara in Megillah mentions that Rakas is another name for Tveria. At that time, in Jewish history, Tveria was the center of Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael. It's where the Sanhedrin was headquartered. So a pair of Talmid Chachamim have come from Rakas, from Tveria, the Tofsei Nesher, and they were grabbed by an eagle. So Rashi says the eagle means a troop of Persian soldiers. It's interesting, by the way. I would have thought that maybe Persian is one of these things where the censors changed it from Roman. But in fact, I looked even in the first edition of the printed Gemara from 500 years ago, before they had much in the way of censorship. And Rashi also says they're chel parasim. So apparently it is really genuine that Rashi understands the eagle over here to be representing Persian soldiers. Rava lived in Bava, which was ruled over by Persia at that time, who had arrested these Talmid Chachamim. There's a couple of other explanations what Nesher means. One of them, Rabbi Akiva Eger, brings in Gilyon Ashas from the Oruch, and also Rabbi Hananel brings over here on the side of the Gemara, that Nesher is Moloshe Nosher, as in falling, so they were delayed by the rain falling. Anyway, over Yodam Dvorim Anasim Beluz, these Talmid Chachamim were holding in their hands things that are made in Luz. And the Gemara interjects, Umayniu Tchelas. What is it? What did they have with them? They had Tchelas, which is made in the city of Luz. So one idea would be, in other words, that they were taking Tchelas with them in order to pose. They didn't want people to know, like this as it is, they were arrested by or delayed by government agents, by soldiers. So like this, their cover story was that they're only transporting Tchelas from one place to another. B'schus ha-rachmim v'schusam, in the schus of Hashem's rachmim, and in the schus of their own schus, they were Talmid Chachamim, yotzu b'sholim, they got out of it safely. And they were able to continue, on their journey. And the ones who are born in the womb. So far, to decode the message, therefore, we're saying that the Talmid Chacham came from Rakas, which is Tveria, and that they were stopped by a Nesher, which again can mean either a troop of Persian soldiers, or it can mean the rain. And another explanation is that Nesher can mean, in general, a powerful king, who was compared to an eagle. Whatever. And they were carrying with them Tchelas. And then they got out of it safely. Va'amuse, the ones who are born in the womb, which is a hint to the Jewish people. We say in Kiddush Levana, va'amuse voten, that Hashem, so to speak, carries us in his womb. Yerechei Nachshon, the descendants of Nachshon, which means the Nesiim in Eretz Yisrael, who are descended from Nachshon ben Aminadav, Bikshu L'Kvoya Notziv Echad, they wanted to establish a Notziv. The word Notziv literally means an official, an appointed official. The Gemara is going to explain soon, Notziv or Netziv, whatever, is a code word that they used for a set, for an extra month of the year, for an extra Adar, as the Gemara is going to explain soon, where they got that from. This Adoimi, meaning the Romans, did not allow them to do that. They were not allowing them to gather together to declare a leap year. However, the masters of gatherings, that expression Balei Asupos is taken from a pasuk at the end of Kehelas. It means the Chachamim who gather people together to learn and to teach Torah. Nesfu, they gathered together, and they established a Netziv. They established that extra month, the Yerach Shemes by Aaron HaKoyen, in the month in which Aaron HaKoyen passed away, which Aaron passed away in Chodesh Oz. So we see, in other words, from that they actually, that in of, they gathered together and declared the leap year. Now, before we said you can't do it before we said you can't do it before Tishrei, before Rosh Hashanah. So we see that, we see B'Shas HaChach, they were able to do that. So how does that not contradict what we said before? And the answer is Chashuvim Chashvi Galuya LeMegalu. To sit and do the calculations of whether we're going to need a leap year for the coming year, which involves calculating when the Tkufa is, among other things, that they could do even in advance, that they could do even before Rosh Hashanah. But to announce that we declare this coming year a leap year, we can't do that before Rosh Hashanah, again, so that people don't forget by the time it comes Adar that we had declared that there's going to be a leap year. So, to gather together an Adar that they could do. Marshon has a fascinating explanation over here of this whole thing. Why is it important to mention that they were carrying Tcheles? What's this expression, Bischusam or Bischusa Rachmim or Bischusam? Why is it important to mention that they gathered together in Og to do this? And he explains in some length as follows. We know that Yishmael had 12 sons who all became Nesiim. So, and we have, throughout the generations, we always have, we're dealing with Esav and Yishmael. Sometimes they work in opposition to another, sometimes in tandem with each other in order to harass us. In this particular case, he says, now, what is it? We Jews also have 12 Shvatim, but what we have is we have a 13th Shevet, because Shevet Yosef divides into two, Menashe and Ephraim, and corresponding to that, sometimes we have a 13th month. So that power of that 13th month and that 13th Nasi, or Nasiv, as in Netziv, as the Gemara calls it over here, helps us overpower the power of Esav and the power of Yishmael. So now, Marashah says, then the vote is like this. That the zug means not just a pair of Tamar Chachamim, it means a pair of doves, where we Jewish people are compared to doves who are always faithful to their mate. So a zug, a pair of, meaning the Jews who are trying to fight against Esav, or are trying to overcome and to be able to withstand Esav and Yishmael, they were trying to add an extra month. Meanwhile, they were caught by the Nesher, which represents Yishmael. In fact, Marashah says an interesting expression, Tachas Yodei Roiv Kibbutz Nefutzis Yisrael, most of the dispersed Jewish people, Marashah says, are under the control of Yishmael. For a long time, of course, Yishmael, the Arabs controlled quite a lot of territory where Jews lived, so I guess at least in Marashah's times, and apparently he's understanding in earlier times as well, most of the Jews lived under Yishmael. So here they caught them and were trying to prevent them from declaring this 13th month with the power of which they would be able to overcome Yishmael. So they had with them Tcheles, representing the Kisei HaKavod, representing Hashem's throne, Ein HaKisei Shalom, that Hashem's throne is not complete until Amalek is destroyed. They had with them, it describes Tcheles as Dvorim Hanasim Beluz, because Luz is a city that's immune to death. The Gemara tells us in Sota that people would never die in that city. When they got old and tired of life, they would leave the city and die elsewhere. So that represents the immortality of the Jewish people. And then we're saying, B'schus HaRachamim, and the B'schus of Hashem's Rachmanus, that he wants his name and his throne to be complete when Amalek is destroyed, and in their own B'schus, they were able to be saved from the power of Yishmael. Now, the descendants of Nachshon were saying that, again, the Nesiim and the Melochim, and ultimately Moshiach comes from Nachshon, they wanted to establish that 13th month to represent the power, that we have the power to eventually overcome Esav and Ishmael, but the Esav got into the act and was preventing them. Before we have, they were caught by Ishmael, by the eagle, who Marshall says represents Ishmael. Now the Romans were also interfering, the other part of that nemesis of the Jewish people. So the Chachamim had to gather together in Av specifically, which is the month, Av is the month of the Churban. And therefore, the Romans are going to figure that that's it. You know, the Jewish people have no chance over here. So therefore, they won't realize that Fakir, they're gathering together for this to represent the continuity and the immortality of the Jewish people. Davka and Chodesh Av. So therefore, they did that. And he finishes off. Marashah says that so, and they did that. They established that next year is going to be a leap year, indicating that we will have the power. Hashem will give us the power to overcome the 12 Nisim of Yishmael and Esav, who helps them out. Marashah, by the way, finishes with a fascinating thing. Then in this connection, he says, yesterday we were learning about the Nusach that the Nisim would send when they were informing everybody there was going to be a leap year, where they would tell them the birds, the little birds are still young, and the little lambs are still weak, and the time of Aviv has not come yet, and therefore we have to add X 30 days to the year. It also represents this whole dynamic of Golos and Gola. The birds represent the Jewish people. The young lambs also represent the Jewish people. Both of those are used as metaphors for us. So it means we're small and weak, and we have no koyach and Golos. And the time of Aviv, the time when our Geula should be sprouting forth, has not yet come. So therefore, we have to add 30 days to the year. We have to add a second Adar representing that power that ultimately Yosef, who is divided into that extra two Shvatim, and Yosef is associated with Adar, Mazel Dagim, is eventually going to be what overcomes Esav and brings us the Geula HaMitzvah Vashlema. So therefore, that was the whole message that they sent to Rava. That's why they mention all those details, and that's why the Nesi'im, when they would send out their letters, show those details to indicate making a leap year is not just a technical thing to allow Pesach to fall in the right season. It actually shows that Hashem is giving us the power to withstand Esav and Ishmael, and eventually to defeat them once and for all. Okay, so now in this message, we mention that they were trying to set up a Nitziv, and the Romans were trying to interfere, and they finally had to set up the Nitziv in Chodesh Adar. So Nitziv, we said, is a code word for a month. But my mashma, the high Nitziv, listen to the Yarchahu. Where do we see that the word Nitziv means something having to do with a month? So Dichtiv, because we find in the Pesukim, in Sefer Malachim, V'leShloima Shneimos Nitzivim Malko Yisrael, Shloima had 12 Nitzivim, 12 appointed officials over the Jewish people, V'chilkulu Asamelech V'asanoshav, or Beitzo, it actually says in the Pesuk, Chodesh Vashona. They would support the king and his household for 1 month out of every year. Meaning, the Pesukim describe over there, you had these 12 Nitzivim. Each of them is in charge of a particular region in Eretz Yisrael. He would be collecting taxes and whatnot from the Jews in that region, from in his region. And then each month, that region, that Nitziv, would be responsible for supplying all the food and other necessities of the king and his household and everybody who's involved with that. So, for example, Chodesh Nisan, let's say you would have that the Nitziv in one part of Eretz Yisrael would be bringing in his taxes and everything to Shloima, and that would supply the needs of Shloima's court for Chodesh Nisan, and the next month it would be the next Nitziv, and so forth. So therefore, they started using the word Nitziv as a code word to mean a month. Now, the Gemara says, V'haksiv u'nitziv echad asher ba'aretz, after it lists the names of the 12 Nitzivim and the areas of Eretz Yisrael where each of them was in charge, so it finishes off saying there was one Nitziv in the land. So what's he for? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman disagree what his role was. Chad Amma Mamuna al Kulam, one says this 13th Nitziv was in charge of the other 12. And the other one says he corresponds to the month of the Iber, so he wouldn't have to be supplying every year, but every 2 or 3 years, when there's a leap year, then he would be the one who's responsible for supplying the needs of the palace for that month. Okay. So therefore, in later times, they used the word Nitziv as a code word to mean when they needed to hide what they're doing. From the Romans, they would use the word Nitziv as a code month for that. And again, like Marashal says, it's more than that. It also represents that we have more Nesiim than the Goyim do, and therefore that we have the power to overcome them. Okay. The Gemara continues, Tanan Abanan, Ein Me'abanas Hashana Lo Mishana L'Chavarja. We cannot declare a leap year from one year to the next. So let's say again, they know, for example, let's say we're now in Tokshin Pehei, and they know that this year we don't need a leap year, however next year, Tokshin Pehvav, we do. They can't do that. They can't go and calculate that in advance. That's how Tosfos learns. Rashi says what it means is, let's say, for example, they know that Tufshin Pei Vav, let's say, would have to be a leap year for whatever reason, but they figure, you know what, instead of doing that, let's instead move up the leap year and do it in Tufshin Pei Hei. So they can't do that, Rashi says. When a year needs to be a leap year, then you do that. Don't make one year a leap year instead of another one that would have to be a different year. Tosfos says that's not what it means. It means that you can't calculate in one year about the following year, even if they're not going to reveal it. And we said before, they can't reveal it until after Rosh Hashanah, the year that's going to be the leap year. But even just making the calculations, they would have to calculate again when the actual year comes, or shortly before it, like we said over here, in the case of Chodesh Av, in order to figure out. They can't do it that far, they can't calculate that far in advance, for example, doing Tufshin Pei Hei, to decide that Tufshin Pei Vav should be a leap year. And also they cannot declare three leap years one after the other. Because you think about it, every time you have a leap year, it means you're moving Pesach ahead 30 days. So it means if you have three leap years in a row, then by that time Pesach is going to come in the middle of the summer. Tosfos wonders actually in that case even two would be enough to cause problems. So Rashi brings a second explanation. Rashi says that a second explanation, the 3 years one after the other, means they can't go and even sit to think about should we over the next few years when are going to be the leap years. We can't do that for 3 years in advance. We can do that for two, but not, as Gemara is going to give an example, but not for three. That's another explanation that Rashi says, and Tosfos prefers that explanation. So it wouldn't mean to literally make 3 years leap years in a row. You're not going to do that. Even 2 years leap years in a row would be enough to knock Pesach out of its proper time. The Binyan Shloima says, for Rashi, he says, listen, if you have two leap years in a row, what's going to happen? For example, fine, you may have Pesach come out during the time of year which would normally be Shavuos. To put it in modern terms, might be, let's say, sometime in May. Fine, it's not so good, but it's not so terrible either. At least May or early June is still during the spring. If you would have three in a row, then already you're putting Pesach in July, and that would be already too late, really. Omer of Shimon, but Rav Shimon says, and what are you talking about? You can't do three in a row, and you can't do them in advance. It happened that Rav Akiva was sitting in jail, as we know the Romans arrested him for teaching Torah, and he declared three leap years, one after the other. So according to Rashi's first explanation, it would mean that he partially declared this year is a leap year, and next year, and each year he's saying that it's going to be a leap year, and the next one is going to be a leap year, and the next one is going to be a leap year. And I'm going to Rashi's second explanation, which Tosfos prefers, in the box over there, yeah, there we go. According to Rashi's second explanation, the point is that he's deciding long in advance when the leap years are going to be over the next 3 years. Omrulloy, the Chacham said to Rav Shimon, Mishlam Raya, you're bringing a proof from there, based in Yoshua Bakovu, Achas Achas Vizmana. Rabbi Akiva was a tremendous expert in Ibur Hashanah, so he could calculate the fact that in years to come we're going to need a leap year because of such and such considerations, such as, for example, he could calculate when the Tekufah is going to be, which is not a simple calculation. But to actually declare the leap year is based, and would have to sit in each time and declare it in its time. So it wasn't that, it's not like in other words, Rabbi Gamliel sitting in, not Rabbi Amir, Rabbi Akiva, sitting in jail. It's not like the Chacham was saying to Rabbi Shimon. It's not like Rabbi Akiva is going to say, next year is going to be a leap year, and the year after that is going to be a leap year, and so forth. You can't do that in advance. Rather, it would be Rabbi Akiva gave them the calculations. So that way, now they could use those calculations to decide when it comes time, should we in fact make a leap year this year, depending on those calculations and depending on the various other factors that we've learned about so far.
He did because it was water.
And he did that because he was the great expert on it, and they knew that he's in jail, and he might not live very long, as it is. The Romans killed him as one of the Asar Arogei Malchus. So therefore, they took advantage of the opportunity to have him make, so he took the opportunity himself to make the calculations so they'd have them available for when they need them, but not that they'd actually declare in advance that there's going to be three leap years in a row. So again, there's quite a lot of discussion about the ins and outs of this, about three leap years in a row. Rabbeinu Hananel has a very interesting explanation over here. He says like this: we talked about yesterday the 19-year cycle that we have nowadays in the calendar. Nowadays, we have the calendar is divided into 19-year cycles, and every 7 years, seven out of every 19 years, we have a leap year. There's fixed years from them: the third year, the sixth year, the eighth year, and so forth, going through it. Now, Rabbeinu Hananel says, even in the time we're talking about, they were Makadosh al-Piyariya and all that, nevertheless, they were trying to use that 19-year cycle as much as possible, because after all, it makes a good approximation of the fit between the solar and the lunar years. The whole point of a 19-year cycle is, when you have seven leap years during those 19 years, then you'll get the solar years and the lunar years in sync to match up. So now what happens is, Rabbeinu Hananel explains, suppose they had then, let's say, 11 years of the Machzor have passed, and you had four leap years so far, 3, 6, 8, and 11. So far, so good. But now, let's say, for example, could the next one, the next scheduled one, should be in the 14th year. Now, let's say, for example, the 14th was a year of famine, and we learned at the top of the Amud, you don't make a leap year then. The 15th, let's say, was a Shmita, which also we're going to say soon that you don't make a leap year then. The 16th was Metzoi Shmita, and also the Gemara is going to say soon that you don't do that. So now we've lost a whole leap year. So there, and you only have left at this point 17, 18, and 19. Under the normal schedule, 17 and 19 would be leap years. 18 would not. But now that we missed the one in 14, then we have no choice but to make three leap years in a row to help things catch up. 17, 18, and 19. So that's what Rabbeinu Hananel says. It is shayach to do that. So therefore, and Rav Shimon is arguing that Rabbi Akiva actually did that, but the Chachamim are answering him, you know what, then each year, the Chachamim sat down separately and decided whether there needs to be a leap year. It's not that Rabbi Akiva declared them years in advance. We learn in a Braisa, Ein ma'abrinas ha'shana lo'y b'shvi'es lo'y b'mitzoy shvi'es. We do not declare a leap year during Shmita or during the year after Shmita. During the year of Shmita, the reason is because then we're extending the time when they can't work the land. We put in an extra Adam, it's a whole extra month that they can't work the land. We don't want to do that.
But sometimes it comes out that it can because it's
that. So we talked about before, the Rambam holds that all of these rules that we're saying over here about not doing a year of famine and not doing Shmita and so forth would only apply when they're doing it because of the side reasons that we learned about yesterday. For example, because the roads are muddy or the bridges are washed out or whatever, and people are not going to be able to be Olo L'Regel. The Rambam holds when you're dealing with the primary reasons that we said because of the grain is not ripe, and because the Peiros HaIlon are not going to be ripe by Shavuos, and because of the Tekufa, when you have those factors, when you're basing on those factors, the Rambam says, never mind famine, never mind Shmita, never mind Matzoi Shmita, you make a leap year no matter what. So yeah, as we said before, the Rambam argues on, the Rambam based on our Gemara over here, because our Gemara seems to be saying it's an absolute rule. And there are a couple of different ways to find for the Rambam.
Ein
ma'abin as hashana loy b'shvi'es, because then you're extending the time when they can't work the land. Loy b'mitzoy shvi'es, because mitzoy shvi'es, there often tends to be a shortage of food. Like this, you have the last crop that they gathered in was in the sixth year. Okay, the pasukim in Parshas Bahar give a bracha that it'll last till the ninth year, but nevertheless, things are still, supplies are starting to run out. You want to have as soon as possible that people should be able to harvest their grain and to be able to eat chodesh, because again, you can't eat chodesh until the korban omer is brought. So you don't want to extend it by an extra month, because then you're causing people to have to live off their stored food for an extra month.
When the cycle ends, they start planting seeds first, or it's already...
When Shmita ends, then they start plowing, and usually plowing season is Cheshvan time. So it's Cheshvan of the year after Shmita, then they're plowing, but then they plant their crops. The first crops become ready around Pesach time, and then throughout the year, you have the rest of them become ready. But the point is, we don't...
Is Pesach time?
Shmita begins from... Shmita runs from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, so Rosh Hashanah is when they can start...
So Cheshvan.
A month after they start working, okay.
Okay. However, the Gemara says, so Amosai regular ma'aber erev shvi'es. So when would they often try to make a leap year? Would be the year before Shmita. First of all, practically speaking, if they can't make it the next 2 years, it would be a good time to make it. But Rashi points out there was a benefit in it as well. It means that there's longer time to work the soil. It means they have a whole extra month during the year before Shmita to work the soil and to prepare for Shmita. So therefore, they would try to make a leap year when possible the year before Shmita. Yeah. However, the Gemara says, "Shall base Rabban Gamliel how you ma'aben mitzvah shvius." The household of Rabban Gamliel used to would make a leap year in mitzvah shvius in the year after Shemitah, and they didn't have a problem with it. Why is that? Plug to Dahani Tanoi, the machloikus between Rabban Gamliel and the other Chachamim, whether you can make a leap year in mitzvah shvius, is going to depend on machlokas on a machlokas of Tanoim as follows. The Tanya, Ein Mevin Yerek Mechutz La'aretz, you're not allowed to bring vegetables, to import vegetables into Eretz Yisrael from Chutz La'aretz for the reasons that the Gemara is going to explain in a second. So therefore, according to the Chachamim, you can't do that. Therefore, if they run out of vegetables or grain or whatever in Eretz Yisrael, if they run out of vegetables in particular, which are usually brought, as the Gemara is going to say, with dirt still attached to the roots, so they can't bring those in from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael in order not to cause truma. Not to plant them, to eat them. But the point is, in other words, that therefore, in the year after Shemitah, there may well be a shortage of vegetables because they didn't plant them the previous year. And even the svichim are also, even the ones that grow on their own, are also to eat midabanan. So there would be a shortage of vegetables. And therefore, so you can't import them from Chutz La'aretz according to the Chachamim. So don't make a leap year during the year after Shemitah because you want to have as soon as possible that the vegetables from Motzei Shvi'is will be ready. You don't want to delay things a whole month. On the other hand, Rabbi Senu allowed you to bring in vegetables from Chutz La'aretz, so therefore no problem. Even if there's shortages in Eretz Yisrael, in the year after Shemitah, you can always import them from other countries. So therefore, there's no problem making a leap year in Mitzvah Shvi'is, because even if it means there's longer until they can eat Chadash, fine, no problem. They can always import vegetables from Chutz La'aretz that are not subject to the dinim of Truma and Meiser and all that. Now, the Gemara says, "My binayu." What's the reason? What's the underlying reason between the two opinions? That's the argument. Is, are we concerned about the clods of dirt that often come together with the vegetables when they pick vegetables, roots and all? Sometimes there's dirt attached to them. Now, the dirt of Chutz La'aretz is tamim d'rabbanan. So are we concerned that it's going to cause truma to the Taharis in Eretz Yisrael? So that's basically the argument, is that the Tanakhama says we do have to be concerned about that. Rabbi Senu and Rav Gamliel follows that opinion, are not concerned about that.
It's not Xera on Xera, right?
It's not Xera, because the Pashas would be all part of one Xera, that the dirt of Eretz Amim is Metame, and this would be included in it.
A small amount, right.
In fact, there's a Mishnah that mentions, a Mishnah in Masechta Olos, I think, I don't remember, in one of the Masechtas in Seder Taharis, that mentions that in order for it to be Metame, there has to be enough, there has to be a certain amount in one place. If it was all just a little dirt here, a little dirt there, it wouldn't be a problem anyhow. So therefore, some pastors, Rabbi Seinu, aren't concerned that there's going to be such a big clod of dirt in one place that it would be a problem, whereas the Chachamim before them might have been concerned about that.
So I guess whoever prepared would shake it off more.
I don't know, maybe, yeah. Okay, anyway. So but fine. But everybody agrees you shouldn't make a leap year during Shemitah. Fine.
So we're still going to continue. Why Rabbi Seinu,
The Gemara doesn't say. It's just that they weren't concerned about it, because they're not concerned about that possibility that those little amounts of dirt that are going to come with the vegetables are going to be Matana, yeah. So Rashi points out that if they were concerned about it, they would actually be metame ba'oihel. Tosfos points out they wouldn't be metame ba'oihel anyway. At most, they'd be metame as b'mago v'masa, if you touch them or if you carry them, because there might be gosha, there might be fragments of bones or bodies or whatever inside them. Yeah.
Okay.
Now here's a point. What about to make a leap year because of tumah? So Rashi gives an example. Let's say, for example, the Nasi is sick. Now, when he dies, everybody's going to go to his Levaya and everybody's going to become Tomei. So let's say, for example, he's sick towards the end of Adar, and the doctors figure that he's likely to die shortly before Pesach. So then everybody's going to be Tomei. They're not going to have time before Pesach to become Tohar.
If they're just walking behind you, they get Tomei?
But they're going to go to the Pesach Kavodas. They're going to help with the Kavodah. They're going to be under the same Oihel, etc. Yeah, there's a high likelihood they're going to become Tomei. Think about it, for example, Gimel Tammuz. You know, everybody went into 770 and passed by the Yechidus room, as the Rebbe's roof was there, you know. So, yeah, people are going to become Tommy when the Nasi dies, yeah. Anyway, so that's one possibility, Rashi says. Another possibility is, let's say, most of the Jews are Tomei at the end of Adar, and we ran out of Parah Adumah ashes, so till they find a Parah Adumah and prepare it, they may not have enough time before Pesach. So now the question is, should they make a leap year in order for that, in order to delay Pesach by a month? So we're saying, Eid Ma'abonis Hashanim. Now, Tumah, we should not do that. Because Pesach can be worked for Tumah when necessary.
But everyone's a group, but everyone, most people know it.
Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Ma'abon. Rabbi Yehuda says it is a valid reason to make a leap year for that. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll give you an example. Ma'isib Chizkiyah Melech Yehuda. It happened with Chizkiyah Melech Yehuda in the time of the first place in Mikdash. She Ibrid as Hashanim of Nat Tumah. He declared a leap year because of Tumah. Now, what was the Tumah? Rashi explains people have become Tumah with Avodah Zarah. Chizkiyahu's father, Ochaz, was a terrible Ovid Avodah Zarah, and he brought Avodah Zarah all over Eretz Yisrael. So people were worshipping Avodah Zarah, and now Avodah Zarah is Matame Midzid Abbanon, but fine, that wouldn't take 7 days for people to become Tumah, but still, the point is, Rashi says, people were getting careless with Tumah Vatara. And he realized not enough people are going to be able to come in time to become Tumah and bring the Korban Pesach. In fact, the Pesukim in Divrei Hayomim describe that Chizkiyahu sent messengers throughout Eretz Yisrael, even to the land of the Aseres HaShavatim, to invite them to come celebrate Pesach with them. But people were the Pesukim described, people were making fun of his messengers and saying, why should we bother? And even the ones who are coming slow. So Chizkiyahu decided that we should make a leap year that year, says Rabbi Yehuda, because of the Tumah, because many people are Tomei, and people were not gathering to Yerushalayim fast enough. So again, Rashi says they were Tomei because of Avodah Zarah. Tosfos brings from a Yerushalmi that says what happened was that, you know how the site of the Beis Hamikdash was bought from a Ravna HaYavusi, David HaMelech bought it from him. Well, they found his skull under the Mizbeach. So therefore it meant under the Mizbeach. So it meant that the whole area of the Mizbeach, everything was Tomei from Tumas Oil, and they had to be Matahar, and these things take time. Tosfos then wondered, it was fine, but they still had Eifa Pora, they still had ashes of Pora Adumah throughout the whole first place Mikdash. But fine, Tosfos says maybe they didn't have the time. It was going to take time to get everybody Tahor, and Chizkiyahu figured they're not going to have enough time from the end of Adar until Pesach, the 2 weeks in between, to make everybody Tahor.
So for hundreds of years, his skull was there.
So there's an interesting question. Does that mean all that time his skull was there? So there's one interesting explanation. So there's a couple of interesting explanations. I don't want to get too far into it, because it'll take us way off topic with the Gemara, but there are a couple of interesting explanations. One of them is that Aravna's descendants would keep the skull, like as a memento, and whenever they could, they would smuggle it into the Beis Hamikdash. So when things are going right, and everyone, the Kohenim, are doing the Avoda, and they're watching things, then they're going to prevent such a thing. But in the Ochaz's times, where things broke down, because they're worshipping Avodah Zarah, and he forced the Kohenim to stop the Avoda, and whatever, then Aravna's descendants are able to smuggle it in over there. That's one explanation. Another explanation is that Aravna's family graves were near there. After all, the place had originally been Aravna's threshing floor, his granary. So what happened was, again, there was a family plot over there where Aravna and his family were buried. Now, ordinarily, there would be a strong wall between them to prevent any remains from them from rolling into the site of the Beis Hamikdash. But again, when the Beis Hamikdash is not being maintained as it should, like in Ochaz's times, then that wall could break down or even be destroyed deliberately, and then pieces from, including the skull, would roll into the site of the Beis Hamikdash. So there were a couple of different explanations how it came there, but in any case, the point is, that would be another reason there was Tumah involved. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda says, you see that Chizkiyah made a because of that, and we see in the continuation of the Pesukim that Chizkiyah davened to Hashem for Rachmonos for himself because he realized that he had done wrong. Now the Gemara is going to ask, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that he did right, so why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why would he have to daven? We'll get to that soon. Anyway, Dichtiv, the Pesukim say, Ki Marbisa'om, because many of the people, Rabbas Me Ephraim and Menashe Yisachar Zvulun, many people from those four Shvatim, which were among the ones that Chizkiyah had sent his messengers to tell them, come, it's time to come back to the Beis Hamikdash. 200 odd years, you guys, you and your ancestors haven't been coming to the Beis Hamikdash because of Yeravam and his Egle HaZahar. Now, and he blocked them with, nowadays, Hoshea ben Ela, the last king of Yisrael, took away the guards. You're free to come. So Chizkiyah tells them, it's time to come back to the Beis Hamikdash for the first time in hundreds of years. And the Pesukim describes. So first the Pesukim describes some of them were mocking the messengers and saying, why should we bother, and so forth. But then the Pesukim say there were people from these Shvatim and others who did come after all. But the Pesukim says, Lo Hitahoru, they had not become Tahor. They didn't become Tahor in time. The result was, Ki Ochlos HaPesach B'loi Chakosu, they ate the Korban Pesach not the right way that it's written. Meaning, in other words, that he made a leap year because of Tumah, which was the wrong thing to do. He shouldn't have done that, as we're going to work out in the Gemara over here. So here it ends up. So in other words, they made Pesach a month later than it really should be, because in other words, Pesach should have been Nissan. In effect, they're making Pesach in Chizkiah made a leap year where he shouldn't have. Yeah. So therefore, what they consider Nissan is really Iyar, and they're making a Yom Tov of Pesach during Iyar. And he spalali Chizkiyahu aleihem lemer, and the pasuk continues, Chizkiyahu daven on their behalf and said, Hashem atov yechaper ba'ad. Hashem, who is good, should atone for them for this mistake. So, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that ultimately it was a mistake for him to make a leap year under those conditions, as the Gemara is going to work out. Now, Rabbi Shimon says, wait a minute, imipnat tuma ibruha milberes. No, the fact is, you, Rabbi Yehuda, are saying that he shouldn't have made a leap year, and he realized it was a mistake, and he's davening for Hashem to be mechaper for the Jewish people. Actually, b'diyeved, it's true, fine, they shouldn't make a leap year because of tuma, but b'diyeved, they did, it is a valid ibur. So therefore, it is validly nissen. So this is what's there for him to daven about? They're making Pesach and nissen the way it's supposed to be.
Well, if it says
hutzal b'tuma, so elam apnei ma'b. Because Reb Shimon says, because you can only make the leap year during Chodesh Adar.
Right.
He waited until Nisan and then declared a leap year, and now he realized after the fact that this was wrong, and that's what he's davening that Hashem should forgive him and the Jewish people for doing. So far we have a few opinions. We have the Tanakhama saying that you can't make a leap year because of Tumah. We have Rabbi Yehuda saying that you could. However, we see that Chizkiyahu made a mistake in doing so, as we're going to work out what the mistake was. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you shouldn't do it, but the evidence does work. But the problem was that he made it too late. And Braita continues, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Oimim, Mashum Reb Shimon, Mepnei Shehishi, Yes, Yisrael, Lasses, Pesach, Sheni. The reason why Chizkiyahu had daven for Rachmanos is because he convinced the Jewish people to make Pesach, Sheni. Because if most of the Tzibur are Tomei, you don't delay to Pesach, Sheni. You make Pesach, Rishon. And he should have done that. Instead, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, in other words, understands the Psukim. Now, it's like this. In Divra Yomim, the Psukim describe how Chizkiyahu talked everybody into making Pesach, Bachodesh, Hasheni. So what does that mean? So Reb Shimon Yehuda is taking that at face value. It means he told them, instead of bringing the korban Pesach this year in Nisan, let's delay it to Pesach Sheni. And that's wrong, because Pesach Sheni is only when it's a miut of the Tzibur. According to everybody else, the vort is, when the Pesach calls it Chodesh HaSheni, means because they thought of it as Chodesh HaRishon, they thought of it as Nisan, but it was wrong because they shouldn't have made a leap year that year, and therefore it really was Chodesh Iyar, even though Chizkiyah and everybody else thought that it was Chodesh Nisan because they thought there were two others.
Because they
made a leap year.
So he
made a leap year, but as the Gemara is going to work out over here, it was a mistake to do that. Yeah. Okay. So now let's work out these opinions. So we're saying Rabbi Yehuda says you could make a leap year because of Tumah. Alma Isle, Rabbi Yehuda, Tumah Dechuya Hi Betzibur. So you're saying that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that Tumah is Dechuya Betzibur, meaning in other words that, yes, you can bring the Korban Pesach, the Tumah, when necessary, but it's only Dechuya, it's pushed off. Ideally, you should not do it, but b'diavad, you did it, then it's fine, as opposed to Tumah Hutra Betzibur means it's completely mutter. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, as much as possible, try to do it b'tahara. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would say, you could make a leap year in order that the people can bring the Pesach b'tahara, because to do it as the Tumah is only a last resort. So if you have the option, instead of making a leap year, then better you should do that. The question is, Vahatanya, we learn in a Braisa, where we see Rabbi Yehuda holds differently. Tzitz, we have the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol that he wears on his forehead. Now, the Psukim explain over there that it's l'rotzen lahem lifnei Hashem, which means that it causes certain korbanos to be accepted, which otherwise would not have been accepted. So that's called tzitz miratze. So Rabbi Yehuda, so tzitz, ben sheyeshnayot. Now, the Pasuk says about the tzitz, v'hoya al mitzchay tomid, should always be on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, l'rotzen lahem lifnei Hashem, to be accepted for them in front of Hashem. So does that mean it only works when it's on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, or does it mean it always has its effect tomid, whether the Kohen Gadol was wearing it or not? That's the machloikas. Sitz ben sheyeshnei al mitzchay, or ben sheyein al mitzchay, miratze divrei Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds that sitz works whether the Kohen Gadol is actually wearing it right now or not. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, oydi al mitzchay miratze, if it's on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, then it makes the korbanos acceptable when they were brought the tumah, which they shouldn't have been. Ein oda mitzchah, ein meratzah. But when it's not on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, then it's not meratzah.
We might learn today if either of us in the Bismikash, it's okay.
Yeah, we're talking in the Bismikash, is where the korbanos are brought.
No, but the tzitz was...
The tzitz is always there in the Bismikash. In fact, most of the time, the Kohen Gadol would wear it as it is. Tosfos brings from a Gemara in Kiddushin that most of the time, the Kohen Gadol would wear it even when he's not doing the Avodah. But here, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it at one time, then it doesn't work.
Okay, but during that time he was wearing it.
But how do we know? So wait. So Amar Reb Shimon, Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippur Yechiyach. So Reb Shimon says, I can prove that it always works. Look at Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol is not wearing it because he wears for a large part of the Yom Kippur Avodah, he wears only the big day love on, only the white clothes, and the tzitz is not among them. And it still works. Because after all, the Korbanos on Yom Kippur, we're not going to say that Yom Kippur is worse than the rest of the year, that if something goes wrong with the Korbanos and there's Tumah involved, that Hashem shouldn't accept them on Yom Kippur when he's going to accept them the rest of the year.
Is there still wearing white with them? With the
tzitz is one of the golden garments. He only wears that when he's wearing the golden ones, yeah. Rabbi Yehuda says, never mind Yom Kippur. That's a special case because Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. When Korbanos Tzibur are brought and the people or the Kohenim or the Klei Shoros are Tumah, it's Hutra, it's completely Mutter. Therefore, we don't even need the Tzitz to make it acceptable. It's completely Mutter to begin with. So therefore, yes, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the Tzitz. But that doesn't matter because they were talking about Korbanos Tzibur, all the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, or Korbanos Tzibur. And therefore, we don't even need the tzitz. But Rabbi Yehuda says, when we need the tzitz for korbanos yachid, or for even for korbanos tzibur that don't have a fixed time, that, for example, the par helam davar shel tzibur, then Rabbi Yehuda holds we need the kohen gadol to be wearing the tzitz in order for it to work. So the point is, in this braisa, we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds tumah hutra b'tzibur. But whereas from the previous discussion, it seems that he holds only Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur. That L'Hatchila, we try to bring B'Tara, and we only, when we have no choice, then we bring B'Tumah, which implies that we need the Tzitz for it. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda is contradicting himself. Does he hold Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur or Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur? So the Gemara says, V'litai Meich, new, and according to your own Svara, that you're asking the question, Tikshilach Higufa, never mind Rabbi Yehuda with the tzitz versus this case over here of making a leap year. Within the Braise itself about the leap year, you seem to have a contradiction. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ma'abrin, first Rabbi Yehuda says you could make a leap year because of Tumah, because the people or the Kohenim or whatever are Tumah. There, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, and yet Rabbi Yehuda continues in the same braisa. Ma'aseh b'Chizki Melech Yehuda she'ibur es hashanim b'nei Tumah, that happened that Chizki Melech Yehuda declared a leap year because of Tumah. Ubikish rachman alatma, and he had to daven for rachmanus for himself, that Hashem should be mechaper for him. So, if according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to make a leap year under such conditions, then what does he have to daven for? So the answer is, we have to say that the braisa is missing some words, what it means is like this, you can't declare a leap year because of Tumah. If they did declare it a leap year, then b'diavad it works. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not a valid ibuyo, even b'diavad. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you see that when Chizkiah did that, he had to ask Rachman for himself, because in fact it was not a valid Ibuyur, and it means, in other words, that here they're thinking that they're celebrating Pesach and Nissen, and really it's an Iyur.
But again, we said that he did it because
of Tumah, he was saying.
But he did it in the wrong time, that was the problem.
Now, we're going to get to that point soon. Rabbi Shimon mentioned the point about doing that at the wrong time, Rabbi Yehuda is not mentioning that. So the question is, well, then when Rav Shimon says that if they made a leap year because of Tumah, then b'diavad it's a valid ibur year, hainu Tanakama. Isn't he saying the same thing as the Tanakama? Then what's the difference? Rava says we can still explain the braisa the way we said, but the question would be, can we do it l'hatchila? According to the Tanakama, we can't do it l'hatchila. You can't do it l'hatchila because of Tumah, but b'diavad, if they did, then it's a valid ibur yer.
Reb Shimon would say,
The Tanakama would be the Tanakama.
Okay.
Then you have Reb Shimon says that no, even b'diavad, they did it. Reb Shimon would say, even l'hatchila, they could do it because of Tumah. Why did Chizki have to daven for Nachmanos? We're going to explain soon. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, even b'diavad, it's not mu'beres. So we have three opinions. According to the Tanakama, l'hatchila, no, b'diavad, yes. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even b'diavad, no. According to Rabbi Shimon, even l'hatchila, yes. Fine. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda is not contradicting himself. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Rabbi Shimon uses the expression, even though he says l'chila, only because Rabbi Yehuda had said einu mu'beres, so therefore he uses the parallel expression mu'beres. But he doesn't mean that only b'diavad you could do that. He, Rabbi Shimon, would hold, as we're working out now, that even l'chila you could do that. So therefore Rabbi Yehuda is not contradicting himself, because yes, he holds Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. Therefore, when it comes to the tzitz on Yom Kippur, we don't need the tzitz, because the korbanos are accepted, even if there's Tumah involved, because you don't need the tzitz on Yom Kippur at all, but during the rest of the year you would. But in this case, Rabbi Yehuda is saying Tumah is not a valid reason to To push off Pesach to make a leap year, because even though Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, it's still don't just bring the Korban Pesach B'Tumah, because Achila, you could bring the Korban Pesach B'Tumah when necessary. There's no reason to use that as a reason for a leap year. So the Behoda is being consistent. Okay. The Braisa continues, Tanya Nami Hoki. In fact, we learn a Braisa that clarifies that that is exactly how Rav Shimon holds. The Braisa says, Ein Ma'abrin HaShashanam HaKnaat Tumah L'chatzchila, says the Tanakama. Rav Shimon Ema Ma'abrin. Rav Shimon says you could make a leap year because of Tumah, even L'chatzchila. So why does Chizkiyahu have to daven for Rachmanus if what he did according to Reb Shimon is perfectly allowed l'chatchila? The reason would be because, again, you can only declare a leap year during Adar, whereas he made an Ibur Yor of Nisan in Nisan, meaning he made the leap year after Nisan had already begun. And even Reb Shimon holds you can't do that. Well, the question, so let's analyze that. How could Chizkiyahu make such a mistake? Omar, she'ein ma'abin ala adar, v'hu ibar nisin minisin, was saying that you can only make a leap year during adar, and he waited until nisin. How could Chizkiyah make such a mistake? The lesley the Chizkiyah, doesn't Chizkiyah HaMelech know the din that it says in the, that's implied in the pasuk, ha'chodesh hazelochem, when it says this month should be for you, zed nisin vein achem nisin, this is nisin, nothing else is nisin, meaning once chodesh nisin has begun, you cannot declare it a different month and declare it adar. And Chizkiyah knows that, so how can he make such a mistake? The answer is Ta Bidishmuel. He made a mistake regarding the din that Shmuel says. Now Shmuel, of course, was hundreds of years later, but we mean, in other words, the din that later on was stated by Shmuel, the Amora, but it was already known in Chizkiyah's times. In general, throughout Shas, we always have things like that that are attributed to a Tana or an Amora, but we know that they were known long before that. Anyway, so the Amar Shmuel, Ein Ma'abnas Hashanah B'Yom Shloshim Shal Adar. You can't declare a leap year on the 30th of Adar, however, Roy L'Koyven Nisan, because the 30th conceivably could be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. If Adar is 29 days, then the 30th is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So therefore, say you can't do it already on that day. The Ihu, Hoyover Roy, Loyam Rinan, whereas Chizkiyah held that you don't say Hoyover Roy. You don't say such a thing. It could be Nisan. The fact is it's still Adar. Therefore, we still have time to make a leap year, and therefore we grabbed the opportunity and did it.
So he did the last day
of Adar, but according to Shmuel, he shouldn't have done that because the 30th of Adar could already be Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
That's what the mistake was.
Tani Nami Hocha, we learn like that in a Braisa. Ein Ma'abnas Hashanah B'Yom Shloshim Shal Adar, Hoy Uvaroy L'Koy V'Nisan. You can't declare a leap year on the 30th of Adar because it could be set up, because it could be the first day of Nisan. By the way, the Binyan Shloimeh mentions over here an interesting point. When we're saying, Rabbi Yehuda is saying v'diyeved, even if he made a leap year for the wrong reason because of Tumah, it's not Ma'ubar. He says that's if they realized their mistake before Pesach. But if they already celebrated Pesach and brought the Korban Pesach and made the Seder and all that, and then they realize, you know, we shouldn't have done that, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that v'diyeved, it's a valid leap year. We're not going to go back and then and have to make another Pesach the following month. So the Binyan Shloimeh, by the way, worth mentioning, is actually a distant relative of mine. So I can tell you more about that afterwards. But yeah. Anyway, so the Gemara continues. So now we said in the Braisa, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Meshum Reb Shimon, Reb Shehishi Yisisur Alasas Pesach Sheni. We have the third opinion in the Braisa, fourth opinion, whatever. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda said Chizkiyah's mistake was he convinced the Jewish people to make Pesach Sheni, and therefore that's why he's davening for Rachmanus for himself and for the Jewish people. So we must say, hey, Shidomi, well, what exactly was the scenario? How is it that he's convincing them to make Pesach Sheni and then deciding that, you know what, it's a mistake to do that? Omer Rav Ashi, Kizun Shehoi Yisrael, Mechzat Tmeim, Mechzat Tahorim. Suppose the Jewish people that year were half Tomei and half, the men were half Tomei and half Tahor. Rashi doesn't literally have to mean half, but in other words, many of them were Tomei, many of them were Tahor. When you count the women, then you have a majority of Tahorim. So in other words, you would have, let's say there were a million Jews. You have, let's say, for example, you have 500,000 men who are Tahor and 500,000 who are Tomei. The women are mostly Tahor, so if you count in the women, then you have a majority of Tahorim. So now the question is, what's the chiyuv of women when it comes to Pesach Sheni? Me'ikra sova noshim berishin choyva. Chizkiyah HaMelech first took the view that women, when it comes to Pesach Rishon, are obligated in Minat Torah. So therefore, they should be counted towards the majority. Well, then we have a majority that are Torah, then we should be bringing Pesach Rishon. have a mi'utan tmeim. So therefore, we have a mi'ut, we have a minority who are tmei, mi'utan mitchul Pesach Sheni, and the minority are going to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So that was his original cheshbon. When he tells the people, make Pesach Sheni, he's referring to the tmeim, telling them, you should wait till Pesach Sheni to bring your korban, because right now we have a majority who are tahor. Later on, Chizkiyah realized, no, actually, noshim b'rishim rishus. Women are not chayev min haTorah in Pesach Rishon. They eat. It's a machlokas tanoim and a sefta psachim.
It goes in the category of zman.
It's a mitzvah of zman groma, basically. So it's a rishus for them to eat from the korban Pesach, right? So therefore, so they don't count towards the majority. Da'avu tmeim ruba. Now at this point, the tmeim are. So I gave the numbers wrong a little bit. We're talking about, let's say, sort of 400,000 Jewish men who were tahor and 600,000 who were tamei. But then, once we count the women, then we have 700,000 to 600,000, let's say. So Chizki originally figured the 600,000 are the miut, therefore they do Pesach Sheni. Later on, he realized that, no, actually, we have to go only according to the men. And among the men, the Tmeim are the majority. The majority don't get pushed off the Pesach Sheni, so that was Chizkiyah realized his mistake, and that's why he's davening after the fact that Hashem should have Rachmanos on them and should be Mechaper for them for the fact that they did that wrongly, and that's what it means. Ki ochos haPesach v'lo chakosur, that they ate a Pesach Sheni when they shouldn't have. They should have all been making Pesach Rishon. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with dealing with various details all about the dinim of Ibrahim Hashanah.